Thank you very much for your welcome. It's good to be back to share God's word with you. And really encouraging to hear Margaret recount the testimonies of God's touch in these recent days and the excitement that you experienced when you saw visitors for the Nativity service. That's it's something special, isn't it? It touches people. They feel they need to come to something like that, whereas sometimes they wouldn't come to other things, and that's very encouraging. I'm not going to read a passage of the Bible today. I'm just going to focus our thoughts. I've got one particular verse to give you, and we'll follow on from that. But the text, if you like, is 2 Corinthians, and it's chapter 1, and it's verse 20. It says this: "For no matter how many promises God has made, they are yes in Christ. And so through him, the Amen is spoken by us to the glory of God. For no matter how many promises God has made, they are yes in Christ. And so through him, the Amen is spoken by us to the glory of God." And I've been, as I say, I'm thrilled to hear how God has been answering your prayers. And I think perhaps this message is to build on that and encourage you further in prayer. And to particularly to encourage you in 2024 to use the promises of God more in your prayers. A few years ago, Premier Radio got 60 confirmed atheists to undertake a 40-day prayer experiment. And each unbeliever committed to pray for 2 to 3 minutes a day, asking this God they didn't believe in to reveal himself to them. And they were asked to find a quiet, meditative space and remain as open-minded as possible to ways in which their prayers might be answered. And at the end of the experiment, the various results were collated, and many of the 60 people who took part recorded some spiritual experience. One lady who'd suffered from depression revealed that during prayer she heard a voice, and the voice said, "Would you like me to help you in your sadness?" And she said, "Yes, please." And the voice then said, "Be thankful." One woman, in doing the experiment, decided she needed to become a Christian. And she said this: "I decided to test God once and for all. I then realized I could no longer live without God. I have found peace and meaning. With God, I feel like I have hope and positivity. I feel safe. I feel I have direction. I have found that when I was an atheist, I felt lost and alone. Now, thanks to the experiment, I've decided to commit my life to God." Interesting, her 11-year-old daughter also met Jesus. Praise him. God is faithful to his word. Doesn't he say, doesn't he promise that people will find him when they seek him, especially if they seek him with all their hearts? God says to Isaiah, "What I have said, that I will bring about. What I have planned, that will I do." God keeps his word. Unlike our New Year resolutions, God keeps his promises. You know what a New Year resolution is, don't you? It's something that goes in one year and out the other. I recommend that all of us rely on God's promises in 2024 rather than our New Year resolutions. Because God invites us to base our prayers on his promises. God has given us this prayer book that is packed full of promises, and God loves to hear us when we tell him what he has written and what he has said. Unlike many a parent who's rashly made a promise to one of their children, which they later regret making or try to wriggle out of, God is absolutely delighted when we remind him of his promises. And so how do we pray God's promises? Well, we need to know what they are. Firstly, number one, search your Bible. Search your Bible. The psalmist prayed, "Open my eyes that I might see wonderful things in your law." The promises of God are found in the Word of God. And to pray God's promises, we need to know first what they are. So we need to look in here. A true story. There was a famous American preacher called D.L. Moody. And early on in his ministry, he started a prayer meeting. And one night, this elderly man came in to join the prayer meeting. He had not seen this man before. And when this old man started to pray, D.L. Moody noticed something different. He never heard praying like this before. And the Holy Spirit was right there in action, giving the old man the assurance of the answer even while he was praying. And Moody confessed that when he prayed to God, God was way out there, somewhere in the distance, and with the answer even further away. And so eager to learn his secret, the young 24-year-old minister discovered where this man lived, and he went to visit him. The old man's name was Ambrose Whaley. He was a retired blacksmith and a Methodist lay preacher. And Moody explained to the old man, "I'd love to pray with you." And once the old man got up and he led them out to a red barn, and they went up the ladder into the hayloft. And there on the old hay lay two big Bibles. One of them was open. And D.L. Moody wondered, "What is this?" And Moody prayed first, pouring out his heart and his needs and his burdens, his requests, his ambitions to God. And then the old man prayed. And Moody once again noticed the difference to his own praying. And there on his knees in the hay, Moody said, "Sir, what is it? What is it? You have some kind of secret in praying. Would you mind sharing it with me?" And with a keen look in his eyes, the old man said, "Learn, young man, to plead the promises of God." Young man, learn to pray, learn to plead the promises of God. And Moody's praying was never the same after that. The old man's words completely changed the young minister's understanding of prayer. It was totally revolutionized. What happened? God showed him to make the Bible, his prayer book. It gave him a new motivation to read the Bible. He began to dig into it. He'd search the Bible, meditate, mark, memorize it. The many promises, and he found the Bible was full of God's promises, a promise for every need, every burden, every situation, every problem. Young man, learn to plead the promises of God. You know, Bible searching is much better than pulling a random piece of paper out of a promise box. The Holy Spirit, the author of God's word, will lead you as you read it. Plus, you found the promise yourself. Stop at a promise in the Bible and God will meet you there. Stop at a promise in the Bible and God will meet you there. The promise of God is as valuable as its fulfillment, precisely because it is God who gave his word. God's will, friends, is in God's word. Here's a practical tip, which Margaret already does, because she showed us this morning. In your Bible, underline or highlight, and you can do this, I think, on Bible apps as well. You can highlight all the promises that you discover in the Bible, and it will help you find them again much easier. I was given this Bible by the principal of Spurgeon's Baptist College on my ordination. And this Bible is already highlighted. And I tell you something, all the promises are highlighted in gold. They're pre-coloured in gold. So I can spot the promises of God very easily when I use this Bible. But I want to encourage you, highlight the promises you find and meet God in those promises. So firstly, having searched your Bible, secondly, put your faith in God's promises. Someone said prayer is the key to heaven, but faith unlocks the door. There must be faith. Where does faith come from? From the same place. Romans 10, faith is by hearing, and hearing is by the word of God. And as we read the Bible and uncover God's promises, so faith is released in us to pray, trusting God to fulfill his promise. How much can you trust someone? You can trust a person only to the degree that you know that person. And so the more you get to know God, the easier it will be for you to trust God. In order to trust somebody, you must have three things in that relationship. Firstly, the person you're going to trust must tell you the truth. And as I was thinking about this, the news has been filled this week about the scandal with that Horizon computer system and the post office post office masters and mistresses. And their relationship was broken, wasn't it? Because if you're going to trust someone, they've got to tell you the truth. The person also must be fair. They must do what is right and just if you're going to trust them. And thirdly, the person must be reliable. They've got to be dependable. Often, I think we wrongly judge God by what we know about others. A man went into a photography shop with a framed picture of his wife, and he wanted another copy of the photo. And as the assistant removed the photo from the frame, they noticed the following inscription on the back of the photograph. "My dearest Tom, I love you with all my heart. I promise to love you more and more each day. I promise I will love you forever and ever. I promise that I'm yours for eternity. Signed, Diane. P.S. If we ever break up, I want this picture back." Psalm 33, verse 4. "The word of the Lord is right and true. He is faithful in all he does." Note those three characteristics. Right, true, faithful. That's why you can trust God when he says something to you. Do you realize there are three things that God cannot do? God cannot do wrong. The Bible says he is just. He does what is right. Secondly, God cannot lie. The Bible says he's holy. That means he'll always tell the truth. Thirdly, God cannot break a promise. The Bible says he's faithful. What he says, he does. Can God be trusted? Can I trust God with my life? Absolutely. Yes, I can. Because God is holy, he'll never lie to me. Because God is just, he'll only do what is fair and right. Because he is faithful, he'll never break a promise. So put your faith in his word. So search your Bible. Secondly, put your faith in what you find. And thirdly, add your amen or amen, depending on how you say it, to the promise. 2 Corinthians 1:20, "For no matter how many promises God has made, they are yes in Christ. And so through him, the amen is spoken by us to the glory of God." This verse declares that all God's promises are yes in Christ. There are hundreds and hundreds of promises in the Bible, but they're not for everyone. Christ is the key to the promises of God. It's having a relationship to God through Jesus, through his death on the cross for us, by accepting Christ, Jesus, as our personal Lord and Savior that unlocks these promises for us. All God's promises are yes in Christ. But the verse continues, they become amen through who? through us. The Amen, says Paul, is spoken by us to the glory of God. Amen means it's true. It's certain, it's confirmed, it's definite. The root word means to be firm, steady, trustworthy, faithful. We say yes to Christ's yes. We agree with him. We add the Amen with our lives because a promise means nothing if we don't claim it for ourselves. Brothers and sisters, never ever put a question mark after one of God's promises. Just your Amen. Psalm 145, verse 13. The Lord is faithful to all his promises. You know, there are over 7,000 promises in the Bible, and they're a bit like unclaimed winnings that are just waiting to be claimed. God wants to fulfill his promises, for no matter how many promises God has made, they are yes in Christ. You know, a promise of God predicts the answer to our prayer. They are the molds into which, the promises are the molds in which we pour our prayers. They describe what to expect. This makes Christian praying different. Shall I tell you how? Well, in today's parlance, we might call this reverse engineering, which is working backwards from the end product. In a very real sense, we pray backwards from the answer. We pray keeping the promised outcome in mind. We pray from the answer to the request. For example, Lord, you promised in James chapter 1 to give me wisdom. So, Lord, today I'm asking you for wisdom to help with this problem I have in my family. And Father in heaven, in Luke chapter 11, I read there that you promised to give your Holy Spirit to your children when they ask. Father, I'm asking you to fill me as your child with your Holy Spirit. Or, dear God, you promised in Psalm 32, verse 8, to instruct me in the way I should go. Please would you direct me from here. Or, loving Father, I don't have enough money to make ends meet. You promised in Philippians 4, verse 19, to supply all my needs according to the riches of your glory in Christ Jesus. Do you get the idea? Or when you're worried or stressed, you pray, Lord, you promised in John 14 to give me your peace so that my heart isn't troubled or afraid. Please, Lord, give me your peace. This is the Lord's way. It's the way of faith. He promises something we believe. We pray God's promises. And the answered prayer not only satisfies us, it also delights God to fulfill his own word. And that is a matter of great importance to God. Listen to what it says in Numbers 23:19. God is not a man that he should lie, nor a son of man that he should change his mind. Does he speak and then not act? Does he promise and not fulfill? Friends, you'll never break one of God's promises by standing on it. Every promise of God will bear your weight. The greatest example of God's faithfulness is, without doubt, the people of Israel. God continually made promises to them, and God fulfilled those promises. Moses' successor, Joshua, coming to the end of his life, was able to say to the gathered leaders of Israel, soon I'm going to die. But deep in your hearts, he says to them, you know that every promise of the Lord your God has come true. Not a single one has failed. Notice what Joshua says about God's record. None of the promises failed. God proved himself reliable time after time after time. God is faithful. And to Israel, faithfulness was one of God's most important qualities. It's talked about almost more than any other quality in the Old Testament. God is a faithful God. He does what he says. He made all kinds of promises to Israel. He promised Abraham a son. He promised Abraham's descendants a land of their own. He promised the Messiah. He promised blessing and harvest and protection, deliverance from Egypt, restoration after captivity. All through the Old Testament, God made promises. Deuteronomy 7 verse 9 says, He is the faithful God, keeping His covenant to 1,000 generations. He keeps His word. He doesn't play games with His promises. The 19th century English pastor George Muller was famous for his ministry to orphaned children. In his lifetime, we're told that George Muller read through his Bible 200 times, including 100 times on his knees in prayer. And through prayer alone, George Muller relied on God to provide food and shelter and clothing for tens of thousands of orphans in Bristol. And he witnessed God provide something over, I suppose in terms of today's money, over £90 million. And he was able to found 5 orphanages, which were home to 10,000 children. He established 7 day schools, which educated 81,500 children. He set up 12 Sunday schools, which taught 33,000 children. He distributed 2 million Bibles and over 3 million Bible tracts. And at that time, he was able to give over £26,000 to overseas mission. And another minister wrote this. He said, when it was laid on George Muller's heart to pray for anything, he would search the scriptures to find if there was some promise that covered the case. Sometimes he would search the scriptures for days before he presented his petition to God. And when he found the promise, with his open Bible before him and his finger on that promise, he would plead the promise. And so he received what he asked. Muller constantly added his amen to God's promises in the Bible. That was his prayer. He put the amen after it. And I encourage you to pray like George Muller did, and then tell the rest of the church how God answered. God's promises, friends, are dynamic. They work. They have a current potential. Draw on his promises today and every day through 2024. And God bless you as you do. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that in our prayers and in our worship this morning, we've been coming before the faithful God, the promise-keeping God, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the God of Paul and Peter and John. We thank you, Lord, that you are the same today, that you do not change, that you are reliable, dependable, loyal, and trustworthy, that your word is true. Help us, Lord, we pray, to search the Bible for your promises. Help us, Lord, to put our faith in those promises as we come across them. And Lord, I ask that we would add our amen to all your promises that are yes in Christ. And that, Lord, we would give you joy as you see the answer and bring the answer and reveal the answer. That would please your heart and it would do us good. But above all, it would give glory to you. For we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you. Just to say, I am.